Our lesson tonight will be taken from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in the first five verses. So if you'd like to mark that in your Bible, we'll get to those verses very shortly. The church in Acts chapter 2. We find here the early church devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, their fellowship with one another, the breaking of bread, and of prayer. As Christians, we talk about prayer being a vital part of our relationship with God. Prayer was taught by Jesus, and he practiced it diligently. And now Jesus has become our intercessor of our prayers to God. How many times in our lives have we tried to stay positive and upbeat? That when someone asks if there's anything that they can do for us, we just smile and say, no, everything's great, I don't need anything. Maybe those times we're thinking that if we admit that we had a need, that it would show weakness. Truth of the matter is, we are weak. We're human beings. And each of us need the prayers of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need to learn to ask people to pray for us. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker, and she turned writer. And her family faced horrible circumstances during the Holocaust. They worked very diligently to hide Jews in the Netherlands. But she asked a question one time. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? How many times have we treated prayer as a spare tire? Like the spare in our car. It's there when we need it. It is kind of our protection in case something goes wrong with one of the other four tires. But we need to treat prayer like a steering wheel to direct our lives. Prayer is not simply a protection piece, but a direction in our lives. When you read Paul's letters, in just about every letter you read, Paul asks the church to pray for him. And the reason was not simply for him alone, but because Paul knew that God would do and used prayer as the avenue for bringing those things about. If you will, let's look at the first two verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Paul writes here, finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored, as among you, that you may be delivered from the evil and wicked men. Paul wanted to take God's message of grace and truth to a world that in that particular time in human history was only facing evil and wickedness. Paul needed their strength of prayer. There is a reason why Paul was so confident in prayer. His confidence was not in himself, or his confidence was not even in those praying for him. His confidence was in God, the God that we pray to. We look how verse 3 of that chapter begins. It says, but the Lord is faithful. And Paul shares with the brethren in Thessalonica, as well with us, three areas in which God is faithful to those who follow the truth. God will establish in us every good work. Keeping in the context of this passage, Paul shared a part of his prayer for them before asking them to pray for him. In chapter 2 of the same book, in verses 16 and 17, Paul said, "Now may the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in good works." It was Paul's prayer that God will continue to establish them, allow them to become more grounded, and by virtue of that, the message is also for us, that we will be grounded in doing what the will of God is. God's desire is to keep us firm in doing what is right. Every good work and every good word. God is at work in us when we go that extra mile, especially if we go that extra mile with the person that always seems to rub us the wrong way. To go that extra mile when we send a note of encouragement to that Christian few people even notice, but is present every time the doors are open. God is with us when we lift the burden from a stranger and do it in the name of Christ. God will, if we allow Him to establish in us every good work and every good word. You know, Paul would tell the church in Rome to present themselves a living sacrifice in Romans 12 and verse 1. But then he writes in verse 2, to do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God, what good and acceptable and perfect. You know, knowing the will of God is not really that much of an issue for us. For God makes himself fairly plain to understand. What is difficult for us oftentimes is discerning God's will and then acting on it. In our text, Paul prays that God will establish in us every good work and every good word. There is more to God at work than guiding us in doing a great ministry for Him. That God will guard us against evil. Just as Paul asked them to pray for him that he may be delivered from the wicked and evil men, Paul shared his prayer of what God will do for them. In verses 3 and 4, he says, "But the Lord is faithful, that He will establish you, that He will guard you against the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord about you, that you are doing and will do the things that we command." Have you ever prayed this type of prayer? In Jesus' teaching on how to pray in Matthew 6 and verse 13, he said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So we need to trust that God's direction is always towards Him. God knows how to protect us from evil. God has given to us His armor to protect us. God has given us His Spirit to lead us. God has given us His Word to shield us. God has done everything to protect us from evil. And Paul is confident that these Christians will be protected by God in the face of the lawless one. And there is no doubt that God will protect us always, for we have His strength. This is kind of what Paul said to the brethren in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Now God is faithful, and He will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, He will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Is God faithful? Yes, He is. And God will not let us be tempted beyond our abilities to bear up against it or to face it. God is with us when we fight against sin. God will not leave us helpless or hopeless, but instead He gives us Himself if we are willing to accept His help. This is the one thing that separates us from the rest of the animals in the animal kingdom. They cannot say no to their own self-desires. But we can practice self-control. And we can stay in step and keep in step with the Spirit of God. And God will also direct our hearts. How can we have confidence in our prayers that God will do what Paul says God will do? The answer is in verse 5, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Now let me, if you will, allow me to reword the verse that will show its impact just a little bit better. May the Master take you by the hand and lead you along the path of God's love and Christ's endurance. When I read the passage, those were the words that came to mind, allowing God to take us by the hand. God will, if we let Him, direct our hearts. The idea is not directing our emotions. Emotions sometimes are very hard to keep under control. Sometimes we suppress our emotions to the point that we become a ticking time bomb. But we need to be able to cry. We need to be able to at times get mad. But we need to allow God to direct us in those ways. God is clearing the way for our whole being to be filled with the love and the steadfastness of Jesus. Have you ever wondered what kept Jesus going in His earthly ministry? Especially when He knew what was coming. If you were to place yourself, put yourself in His shoes in this day and age, and you know you had to do something, but you know what was coming, would you keep going? What kept Jesus going? Love. Love. Because of the fullness of His love, Jesus endured that cross. And God will clear the way to have that love and perseverance in our own lives. Have you ever, I guess for some people it's boring. My mom used to call watching an orchestra long hair music. Anything that had a violin in it was long hair music. Usually because the conductor would stand up there with long hair. But have you ever watched a conductor how he stands there in front. He has his baton. He taps it. He does things in such a way that the sound they bring stirs something in the ones who are listening to it. The moment he lifts his baton, the instruments come to attention. And as he directs, they can get louder, or they will get softer. They will speed up, they will slow down. The conductor of our lives is God. He directs our hearts. In all of the recent atrocities that have occurred in this country, many people, both professional and the common citizens, had made mention when somebody says we need to keep them in our prayers, they say, what good has prayer done? And what good will it do? And I'm here to say it makes all the difference in the world. If we were to return to becoming a prayerful nation, much like it was in the beginning of this nation, we would see a huge change in society. But we can't change society overnight. And we are going to endure an awful lot, just as Paul, writing this letter, was enduring in Rome at that time in prison. But the harder things got for Paul, the more he prayed. And the more he knew of the importance of having brothers and sisters in Christ who were faithful to pray for him also. It might not change the outcome of what we're going through, but it certainly will make it a lot easier to endure, knowing that we are never alone. Is your heart and life being directed by the Lord, or are you the director? Do you care about those who still need to hear the good news about Christ? If you are, pray. Are you getting hit hard with the obstacles of life and opposition? Remember during those times that the Lord is faithful. We need, during those times, to accept His strength and provision. Yield yourself to Him and obey Him fully. Stay in His love and don't give up. Maybe you are a citizen of this world, and you are standing outside of God's love looking in. What I mean is, are you in Christ or outside of Christ? Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can come in from the cold, dark world and enter into the warmth of God's love and light. Our invitation that we deliver when we meet is open for everybody. Whether you're not a child of God and want to become one, or whether you are a child of God and you need our prayers, don't withhold that. We want to pray for you. We want to know to include you in our prayers when you're meeting difficult times. If there is anyone here this evening who has a need, we pray that you will come as we stand and we sing.